Good afternoon and welcome everyone to the Accessibility Advisory Committee meeting today on Monday, April 1st, 2024. To begin with, as you just heard, this meeting is being recorded and the meeting audio will be placed on our website, which is wmata.com. I would like to share a few helpful tips. For people who are joining through phone calls, you can press star 6 to mute or unmute yourself. If you would like to make comments, you can virtually raise or lower hands by pressing star 9. Everyone who is on the video conference, you can click on the speaker icon to mute or unmute yourself and on the raise hand icon to virtually raise or lower your virtual hands. If you're able to use these tools, it helps us because it indicates that somebody is intending to speak. And we can have one speaker at a time. Everyone should be on mute at this time. And I would request for you to please stay on mute unless speaking, because it helps eliminate any external noise. All right. And as you probably remember, that we do have two American Sign Language interpreters with us on this meeting. Therefore, when speaking, please state your name before your comments, because it helps the interpreters in doing their job. And as you know, that we do have people who listen or who join the meeting through phone calls, it also is helpful for them knowing who the speaker is at the time. And when people listen to the meeting audio, it's helpful for them as well. We also request speakers to describe themselves briefly when initially speaking. For instance, I'm a female Asian Indian and I wear reading glasses. I have long dark hair. Chair Sheehan, if you concur, I can go ahead and read the meeting agenda and then take the roll call of the committee members.
Excellent. That's good. Thank you, Anya.
Surely. And what I will do is I will share my screen before I start reading the agenda. So if you would bear with me for a quick moment. And if someone could confirm that my screen is visible, I would appreciate that.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Okay, and so just like I just said, that we will go through the roll call of the committee members as soon as I finish reading the agenda. And at 5:35, Chair Sheehan will go through the motion of approval of today's meeting agenda, last month's meeting minutes, and the board report. At 5:40, we will have either Teresa Impastato and or Jamie Johnson to share system-wide accessibility report. At 5:55, the AAC bylaws work group and the committee will discuss the AAC bylaws. At 7:15, we will have public comments and the meeting is scheduled to adjourn at 7:30. I would stop sharing my screen now and we will go through the roll call of the committee members. When I call out your name, please confirm your presence.
Hi, excuse me. This is one of the interpreters. There was a request to spotlight or pin an interpreter.
So both the interpreters should be able to multi-pin.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
Sure. Azar Atura? Darnese Bush? Tino Calabia?
Present.
Thank you. Vanessa Coles?
Present. I'm on my phone today.
Okay. Thank you, Vanessa. Rico Dancy? Rico is on the meeting with us. Tawan Farmer?
Present.
Thank you. Debbie Fisher?
Present.
Thank you. Marcy Goldstein?
Present.
Thank you. Timothy Howard? Steve Caffin?
Present.
Thank you. Thomas Mangrum? Philippa Mazzell?
Present.
Thank you. Sandy Newsel?
Present.
Thank you. Phil Posner?
Present.
Thank you. Doris Ray?
Present.
Thank you. Denise Rush?
Present.
Thank you. Paul Samaford?
Present.
Thank you. Patrick Sheehan?
Here.
Thank you. Kelly Simonu?
I'm here.
Thank you. Philip Weintraub? Okay, that concludes the roster for today's meeting. Chair Sheehan, if you would like, I can go through the public comments information now, or we can go through it when we begin the public comments.
You can go through that now.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you. So I just want to state that anyone who would like to give their public comments, either send me a chat message if that's feasible. If not, when we begin the public comment section, please raise your virtual hands if feasible, so that we know how many people we have for public comments and we can receive them in the order people indicate that they would like to speak. Every speaker would have 2 minutes to make their comments, and we would have a 2 minutes timer to indicate how much time you have remaining. And that would be my information that I had to share for the public comment section. Chair Sheehan, at this time, I would ask for you to move the meeting forward. You have the floor.
Thank you, Anu. I appreciate it. Welcome, everybody. We have a lot of work to do tonight, so I appreciate everyone being here this evening. So first, we have approval of the agenda. Do I have any opposition to the approval of the agenda?
No.
Hearing none, the agenda is approved. I will next go to the minutes. Do I have any additions or corrections to the minutes? Do I have any opposition to the minutes being approved? Hearing none, the minutes are approved. Next to the board report, are there any additions or corrections to the board report? Hearing none, any opposition to the board report? The board report, hearing none, the board report will be approved. Thank you. Okay, we will now have a report, as Anna said earlier, system-wide accessibility report. Terry Ampestado and Jamie Johnson, you are up. Thank you for coming. Appreciate this.
Chair Sheehan, in case Ms. Ampestado and or Mr. Johnson are unable to join, Ms. Carol Paredo-Lopez, Director of Office of ADA Policy and Planning, would share some information.
Okay, I didn't see in the presentation list. We've got 40 people here, so they're not here yet. Then, Carol, if you want to give the report, that'd be great.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Carol Lopez, Director of the Office of ADA Policy and Planning. I am female with dark hair, pulled back, and I'm wearing a very bright pink top. And one of the updates we wanted to bring you about system-wide accessibility is that we're going to be incorporating a customer response process that's a little bit... We always respond to customers, but I think that we're going to have, we're keeping track of them when they're asked in the advisory committee, and we will provide responses to the AAC either via email or during these meetings. And we will also be providing an update for WayMap during the bus and rail subcommittee. Waymap continues to work mapping our system, and we're gonna have an additional update soon. In addition to those updates, we're also working on something that we're calling accessible mapping, and it is in response to commentary from in one of these meetings about when we were discussing how do we know where the elevators are. We should be able to plan ahead before we get to the stations. And in our website, we have a link under stations that shows you that's called Station View, where you could actually virtually walk through our stations or roll through our stations. You can pick whether you can take the accessible path or not, but it's a visual representation, unlike Waymap that is a it gives you audible information. So for those who use wheelchairs and are visible, we're developing a plan on adding a map on that particular part of our website, telling you where the elevator is relative to which train you that you can get to, so that you can plan your trip. So we're going to request feedback from you to discuss to develop it, but we're working. That is a beginning of a plan, and that we are doing it in response to your input. And that concludes my part of the update.
Thank you, Carol. Appreciate that. Any questions on the topics that Carol brought up? Because I know there's going to be a lot more on accessibility going forward, but I'd like to keep this part of the meeting short so we can get to bylaws.
Chair Sheehan, this is, I know Ms. Rush has raised her hand.
Okay, go ahead, Denise.
Ms. Rush, please unmute yourself. Star 6 will unmute you. Chair Sheehan,
Yes.
like Ms. Rush is
Okay.
not able
She's
to
having
mute herself.
issues. Yeah. Denise, we'll catch up with you later then in the meeting. We'll move on now to the.
I'm unmuted now. It
Oh, there
wouldn't
you
let
are.
me.
Yeah, go
Yes,
ahead.
I'm
Of
sorry.
course.
My question is, when you this map, this accessibility, notifying you different things about the elevator, is that map going to include the public bathrooms?
We hadn't added them, but that's something that we can take note from your comments.
Yes, because people can plan where they can go and can't go. I mean, older people are on the, well, everybody, it doesn't matter what age they are, might want to use the public bathroom and need to know what stations and where they're available. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you,
Very good
Denise.
comment.
Good. All right, I will move then next to Paul. You are up, Paul, with the bylaws.
Well, I
I think.
think Doris raised her hand about this later last topic.
Okay, go ahead, Doris.
Yeah, I just wanted to say in follow-up to Ms. Rush's comment that it needs to indicate where there is no public restrooms because the bulk of the stations have no public restrooms.
Okay,
That's a good
that'll be
point.
added. Thank you. Good. Okay, let's move on to our discussion of bylaws. We have, as I indicated to everyone earlier, we have a drop dead date of the meeting on June 3rd. So that's when we're going to be sending up whatever we have to WMATA leadership, and then it will become their document, and they will make whatever changes or additions that they want to make to the document. So, Paul, you are up, sir. Go ahead.
Alrighty, I'd like to share my screen. So last time we got it, Pat, while you were out, we got a good amount of work done with editing and changes which are recorded. And now we're up to, let me share my screen here, share screen. And right now we are up to B, terms of office. Because I think what we got up to. Yes, we did. So we will start with that. So I'm going to read the terms of office and then we'll have a discussion. And just again, reiterating what Pat says, I'm going to be taking down and putting in the suggestions of AAC members participating in this process only. And I'm just going to read through each section altogether and then take comments from there. So we got B, terms of office. One, members. A term for the AAC shall be for 4 years or until replaced by the appointment of a new member of the AAC. B, terms shall follow the WMATA fiscal year and normally commence July 1st after the action by the Board of Directors. Terms shall expire on the later of June 30th or when the board makes new appointments to the AAC. C, oops, C, members may be considered for reappointment at the end of their term through the established selection process. The selection process shall consider the value of retaining some historical knowledge, as well as, and this is new language in blue, as the necessity of recruiting members, and that's the new wording we wanted to add, as the value of new ideas. D, persons presently serving on the AAC will complete their current terms of office, thereby continuing the staggered terms of office and thereby providing continuity of experience. E, members are limited to 3 consecutive 4-year terms. Now, this new language F is what we're adding in. So we have here for F, these term limits became effective beginning with the signing of the original bylaws in 2015. And then we have a new part two within this. And this will be for access for all members. A reads, AFA members may be considered for reappointment at the end of their term through the established selection process. B, AFA members are limited to 3 consecutive 4-year terms. C, these term limits become effective beginning with the signing of these updated bylaws in 2024 question mark. That's the new language. Emeritus members, this is three. A, emeritus members may be considered for reappointment at the end of their term through the established selection process. Part B, emeritus members, and again, this is all new language, are limited to 3 consecutive 4-year terms. C, these term limits become effective beginning with the signing of these updated bylaws in 2024 question mark. C, resignation. Members may resign by filling a written resignation with the WMATA Board of Directors. And then the last part of this is a midterm vacancy. And we have to figure out what section that's going to fall in this whole thing. If membership vacancies arise during the year, the board of directors may fill the vacancy for the unexpired term. And then in new languages, recruitment will follow the standard AAC applications process. I will take questions on this section right here.
This is Pat. I thought we were also going to add in there term limits for subcommittee chairs.
Yes, we can add that in. So I can do that right now.
Okay. And I would say that those terms would follow the same rules that we have submitted for the officers and access for all. And the emeritus.
So this will probably create a four. AAC subcommittee chairs, and then there'll be an A for AAC subcommittee chairs. And then I'll just borrow the same language. Maybe consider for reappointment at the end of their term. Do the same established process. Just copy and pasting it. For the sake of time, we can work that out. B is going to be AAC subcommittee chairs. And then I'm going to copy and paste are limited to three consecutive 4-year terms. Keep the language consistent. And then C, AAC subcommittee chairs. These term limits will become effective beginning with the signing of the updated bylaws in 2024.
Okay, good. Anu, do we have any hands?
Chair Sheehan, we do have several people with their hands up.
Okay.
Gaurav had raised her hand. I don't see her hand up any longer.
All right.
After that, Tino, Philip Weintraub, Kelly Simonov, Phil Posner, Thomas Mangrum, and Vanessa Coles. Doris,
All
did
right.
you have any comments? If so, please unmute yourself now. Otherwise, we will begin with
I
Tino.
raised my hand.
Yes. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Thank you, Paul, for what you're doing here. First, I wanted to say that I am for the 4-year term, the 3 4-year terms consecutive being a term limit. I want to ask whether that includes, however, sitting out a term and then being able to come back on, which is common for public bodies to do for appointees. Secondly, I very strongly feel that it is the business of the POG, TPB AFA, to set the process for how and who they select. The term limit may be fine, but I do not think that the WMATA AAC should be setting the terms for how and when and who are selected by the AFA, and I think that language should be revised and inconsistent with the two OFA members who now represent COG OFA because we are an independent body. And then I do want to clarify something else, but I forget what it is. I'm sorry.
Okay.
If I might bring down my hand, but if I remember it, come up at the end, please, Mr. Chair, for that.
So what I'm hearing from you, Doris, about Part B under AFA is when we say AFA members are limited to 3 consecutive 4-year terms, I'm just putting a note, revision of this section here is what you're requesting. So we have to figure that out.
It's the, I think it's more of the recommendation from the AEC. No,
well, and I think the length of their terms should be dependent on who the AFA wants to send to the AEC.
Well, I think AFA gets to indicate what the length of the terms are. That'll be decided by WMATA, not AFA. And since everyone else is living with a 4-year terms, 3 consecutive 4-year terms, then that's what AFA should live by also. But I think that the issue with respect to who chooses the individual, that's going to be left to the board because they're the ones that accept the appointments, make the right, and they're the ones that make the choice, not AAC.
Yes, thank you, Patrick.
And the
only other thing is that is very common too. For example, I represent the Disability Commission in Arlington on the Housing Commission, but it's the Disability Commission that selects its
right. And in this case, the board. And then the other, probably Paul, that's probably correct. I mean, if someone is off and they want to come back for another stint of 3-4 year terms, they would have to be out probably for like a year, I would think. And that's something that we can maybe add in there, Paul, see what the leadership at WMATA thinks.
All right. So I'm going to put we'll figure out how to squeeze this in, a one sentence thing about
okay. Who was
I guess
next?
I'll do it number 4.
Yeah,
so I'm just
next.
So I'm putting a note in. We need to have a statement that any committee member who is term limited by rules to wait out for at least a year in order to reapply for consideration for the AAC. So I put that note in so that it massaged the language for that one.
Right.
But I did put that note in as a number 4 under that
right.
section.
Good. All right. Anu, who's next?
Next would be Tino Calabia, followed by Philip Weintraub. So Tino, go
great.
Ahead.
Yeah, this is Tino, Filipino-American. It's been a long time since my hair was black. It's thinning and silver. I'm wearing a blue shirt. The subject of membership, if I recall correctly, lacks any element of participation. For example, if a member never comes after being appointed and maybe shows up for one or two meetings. That member's participation does not mean that that's a member. So my hope is that we can measure the participation, the quality of the member by whether they show up or not. I don't remember ever hearing about that kind of data. That is, whether a member has continued after a few months of participation or not. If they don't participate, there should be something done. And I say that the board figure out when somebody is defined as no longer a member and take action to fill that space. The other thing I'd like to mention is that with respect to the chairperson, the tenure of the chairperson, the length of a member's tenure is discussed in the bylaws, but there's no mention about regarding the lengthy tenure of chairperson of the full ADAC and perhaps also of subcommittees. With respect to emeritus status, the current bylaws say that the WMATA board secretary determines who merits or is given emeritus status. In addition to possibly modifying how anyone is given emeritus status, determination should now be made explicit of the rights of an emeritus status member. Many, if not all, organizations set limits as to whether an emeritus member may serve as an officer, such as chair of the organization. Furthermore, many organizations also stipulate that emeritus members are not entitled to vote. Those are the main two points I made, and I did send out a written statement about this, both to Patrick and to Denise. Perhaps I should send it to everyone, and especially to you, Paul, since you're trying to figure out how to word all this thing in the new draft bylaws. I have other points to make, and I'll make them as subjects come up.
Okay. All right. Let me let me see if I can go back and answer a couple of those questions. One thing, Tino, you had mentioned the rank, and I'll just respond to that first. So good point, Tino. We're going to, at the very least, include the rank report minutes as part of what the AAC will be getting as a report from the RAC. And also, when we have more time in some of our meetings, when we give Metro Access bus rail, and I will give a RAC report. So good point on that one. Let's see, on the emeritus piece, Paul, did we put down that the emeritus would have a term of 5 years and could be reappointed?
No, emeritus, we standardize it of a AFA members are will be limited to three consecutive four-year emeritus terms.
Okay, good. I know.
So we standardize that for subcommittee okay. chairs as yep. draft language here good. For AFA members, for emeritus members, to keep it consistent.
Yeah, and I think, Tina, I think that's a good point. I always assumed that the emeritus could not be elected as an officer. And perhaps we should put that in there. But the emeritus can participate in all discussions, but they don't have the ability to vote. And that is explicitly in there right now. The other thing that we've had in the RAC bylaws forever is that the AAC chair or their designee attends the RAC meetings, but the AAC chair cannot be the chair for the RAC also. And that's been in the RAC bylaws forever. Paul, what were the other points that Tino brought up?
He talked, Tino just talked about his two main points. One of them was talking about if Tino can just repeat to me the and sum up the something to say about membership in terms
Oh,
of
yes. I mean,
participation.
So on the participation piece, Tino, I think that was talked about earlier in the year before we got into all this budget stuff. So the ANU, and they are keeping track of who has participated in these meetings. Attendance at subcommittee meetings is mandatory. Also, how much we go to the hearings and other special projects, that also was noted. And so that's going to be handled by WMATA staff. And certainly, you are correct. If people don't show up and don't participate, they can't be expected to be reappointed.
And it's my
Maybe we should
understanding.
drop. Maybe
Hang on.
we drop them.
What's that?
Maybe we should drop them.
Well, I think that, yes, I think that we're taking a harder, longer look at that, Tino. And one of the things, and then I want to really set up here, but one of the things that we want to look at very, very seriously is going forward, spending more time recruiting new members. When that membership list comes out, I want to see, 8 or 10 people being recruited for this committee. Because I think that there's a bunch of us old timers here who need to retire soon, and we need to have people in place that can take our jobs over and do a good job going forward.
But you have to stipulate in the bylaws when it's determined that an absentee member or someone who never
Right.
comes,
And
we have
we did
bylaws.
have that. Yeah, we have that, a certain amount of meetings that you have missed and you have not attended that are not excused. And so that amount of time actually is in the bylaws.
And it's then on staff to enforce it. And I remember the last cycle in recruiting members, staff, ADAP staff did, for certain people who did not show up, had discussions with them on the sidelines, and obviously those people did not renew because they were not meeting the qualifications that were established under the current bylaws.
But we didn't replace
And
anybody.
I think we did have some replacements,
oh yeah,
but
we
those
had
were,
replacements based on
yeah.
that enforcement by ADAP staff.
But what we want to do also, Tino, is to have a bench so that when we move forward, if some person, for whatever, they leave, they move, their life changes or whatever, and they leave AAC, that we've got a bench that we can call up so that we don't lose any participation, and the person coming up can step in and be qualified to be on the committee. So you're right, having that bench and enforcing the rules that we have is important. You got to have the bench there so that, if someone leaves, you can pull somebody in, and you don't have to start that recruiting piece from square one, because that can take, 3 4 months.
Okay.
Those are good points, Tino. Yeah, so I'm going to encourage people, we really need to be recruiting. That's a huge risk this committee has right now.
Now,
That,
Tina, I'm coming up next with Article 4, termination of membership, and I think this will speak to what you're saying.
Oh,
okay.
okay. Thank you, Paul.
Because we haven't gone through that yet, and I think this will pretty much speak to Tina in terms of when I go through this, maybe you'll highlight areas where maybe we need to strengthen some wording in it. But I think this will address that specific issue that you're talking about right now, Tina.
Right, and I think Philip's up next. Anu, right?
Philip Weintraub and then Kelly Simonov. So Philip, unmute yourself, please. Go ahead.
Also, sitting like during for the resignation of when if a member is to resign, they should have their resignation letter in like 2 or 3 weeks in advance, so they have time to recruit their replacement before they leave, so the place so their spot will not go vacant. So can because it's important that we need to keep this committee strong.
Yeah, thank you, Philip. I agree. And that'll help if we can, if they're going to be leaving in 2 or 3 weeks, we could bring the replacement up and have that person be participating in some of the subcommittee meetings. So that is a consideration. Of course, we can't mandate it or force someone to do it, but that would be a huge help consideration for the committee. Thank you, sir.
Okay, next would be Kelly and then Dr. Posner. So Kelly, unmute yourself, please.
Okay, this is Kelly Simoneau. I'm not appearing on video, but I'm a white woman with brown hair. And my comments related to the effective date of the term limits. I know that this has been brought up by public comment about how these calculations are being made. And I think it would be important for us to, you know, I think there's a bit of ambiguity based on the wording. And so when it says the term limits become effective beginning with the signing of these updated bylaws, that might be when we've established the term limit, but how are we calculating when that person's term limit began? If a person had already been on the committee for 5 years prior to the signing of these bylaws in 2024, are we stating that the calculation of term limits begins on the signing of the bylaws, or as it relates to the 2015 bylaws, is that when the date starts for everyone, or are we looking back before that time and calculating the term limits then? I think we need to be specific in that wording. And then I agree to Doris's point about the roll-off period and having that as not just related to the committee or the position she's on, that is it AFA, but for all of the positions, like at me as a representative of Virginia, once I've completed the 12 years, essentially the four-year terms,
years, right.
Will, you know, that I would roll off for a year and then be eligible after that 1 year period to reapply for membership.
And,
and
Kelly,
Kelly, what I have here is I'm just putting in parentheses at probably the end of each one and just copy and paste it. So you basically want to know, how do we calculate when the term limits begin with a new with updated bylaws?
Correct. Yeah.
So Kelly, the so the 1 year roll-off period and then reapplying would apply to everybody, not just AFA, right?
Okay. Well, I just think it needs to be as part of this term limit that's like written out with specificity.
Yeah, and then the other term limits apply from 2015 when the board first established term limits. The term limits for the AFA members weren't included in that particular group. It was AAC members, not AFA. So that was an oversight, which is why we're picking that up in 2024. We didn't think it was fair to make it backwards compatible to AFA members. So that's why when Paul said 2024 question mark, if the bylaws are actually signed in 2024, then the clock would start for AFA members in 2024.
I understand that wasn't I understand that wasn't previously in the bylaws, and understand why you're adding that in for the emeritus members as well as the AFA members. And I think that's good to add
too.
That. But what I think is still unclear as it pertains to any member of the committee is when we are calculating the beginning of, like, what when I'm reading this saying that this is effective beginning this, that implies to me that that's when the term limit rule was established, but that does not define when the time clock for each person's term
Oh,
began.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. So if they it, in term limits began back, were established in 2015. So for us old timers, we have 12 years and we'll be off in 2027. That would be the 12 years for those,
So I think
let's
it
say you
needs to
start in,
state that. I get what the I get what
yeah, but it,
you know.
wait a minute, hang on. But for, let's say for you who started in 2018, your 12 years would put you at what, 2030 or something like that. So each member, and you've got staggered terms, is going to have a different end date, because they had a different start date. Basically, you have 3, 4 year terms, but we needed to start the we needed to start the clock somewhere because we didn't have term limits in bylaws before that. You just had term, but you weren't term limited.
So what
So
I've done.
I understand what you're saying, Patrick, and I agree with you. What I think it so my 2018 boarding came after the 2015 bylaw update of term limits. So it's very clear when my term when mine expires because it came after 2015. What I think is more ambiguous would be, for example, I know Doris. So I know Doris has been in that AFA position before 2024. Obviously, she's on right now. So when do you start calculating her term? Or, for example, if there was a person that's presently on this board as a regular member, but that was a member before 2015, when did their time clock start for their 4 year
Right. So
consecutive terms?
take me. I've been here longer than 2015. But because the board came up with term limits in 2015, my clock started in 2015. And
So
so I have three 4 year terms, and I term limit out in 2027. Doris,
I
okay.
think we need to have that articulated in the bylaws that say, like, that everyone, that was there prior to that time, I mean, essentially, no one's rotating off would be eligible or would be forced to rotate off the board. Until 2027, based on the way it's worded now. And I think it needs to be, just articulate that people were there prior to 2015 or prior to 2024. Their clock doesn't start until either 2015 or 2024, if that's what you're saying it is. I think it just needs to be written in there because there's different people at different places that came on at different times at different
Okay.
iterations of bylaws.
Yeah, okay. That makes sense. We can do that.
So what I also noticed,
Mr.
you
Chair,
probably
a point
see.
of information.
Wait a minute, hang
Patrick.
on. No, hang on. Let's answer this question first, and then we'll go to your point of information.
No,
All right,
but that it's
so
related to
I
the
don't know
point of
what's
information.
Doris.
So what I did
That
put in for you, Kelly, is when does the time clock begin for each AAC member? So I made a note of that so that we it gets worded in
So we were
specifically,
all
because this is going to
appointed.
go to
Hang on,
probably legal and the
Doris.
board to address.
Hang on, Doris. Okay, Doris, go for your point of information.
The point of information is that in 11, in July of 10, when we were appointed at staggered appointments in order that the AAC would have members going on and off in a staggered way.
Right,
And I don't know
exactly.
whether the 15 revision took that notion.
We still had, yeah, we still had,
Like
the
I was only 2 years when I was first appointed.
right. The whole notion of term limits started in 2015. So we would be term limited off, and that's when we started working, so if someone came on in 27, 2018, let's say, they would still have their, 3, 4 year terms. And that would be the 12 years. But Kelly, I understand what you're saying. It has been confusing because, of course, we went from no term limits to term limits. And so, Paul, we can work out the language there.
Yeah, I already made notes as
Right. Okay.
based on
We
what
can.
Kelly said. How do we
Yeah.
calculate when the term limits begin with the updated bylaws? When does the clock begin for each AHC member?
Right.
This needs to be explicitly stated in the revised
Right.
bylaws. So
And
I have
because
that
it,
clearly.
yeah. And
And
as Doris said, because everyone was staggered, it's going to be a little bit different on the time frame. Kelly?
Oh, and I'm just wondering if, like, that determination of, okay, once the bylaws created a time limit in 2015 and now created additional time limits for certain other members in 2024, like, where who is coming up with the notion of the reset button, so to speak, for people's time? Because ultimately people are serving and that could extend out their term, consecutive term, by a substantial amount of years without a roll-off period. Why
Well,
would like why would it not be that someone would still be, you're looking at 12 years and then a 1 year roll-off and then you could reapply? Like, where did that come from? I guess we should all understand.
so the 1 year roll-off right now, the 1 year roll-off between terms right now, that's something that Doris suggested is a common practice, and I agree. And so you're off, you serve your 12 years under the current, term limits, let's say. You're off 1 year, and if you want to come on for another 12 years and you get appointed and the board appoints you to that position, if the board agrees with it,
It's common with public bodies,
right.
No, I,
and the other
yeah.
thing is that means you have to reapply, although it means you
No,
have to
I agree.
reapply.
I'm on different boards, and that's, yeah, very standard. That was, I didn't ask the right question. What I mean is, how did we come up with the notion that now for AFA or emeritus members, for example, that whatever years they have been on the board up to this point do not count towards their term limit. Instead, we are saying that they now get a reset and their term limits begin as of the signing of this bylaws 2024.
Well, first of all, it's our recommendation. The board may decide otherwise. That's first, because they're the ones that are going to take a look at it, and they can revise it. But my thinking on this is that we didn't have any term limits for AFA members. There's nothing in the current bylaws that has term limits for AFA members or for emeritus or for subcommittee chairs. So we can go in and just say, hey, oh, by the way, your 12 years started back in 2015. Thanks for your service and see you later. That to me doesn't seem very fair. Now, we can adjust that, but I think since that was an oversight in the previous set of minutes with subcommittee chairs, AFA members, and emeritus, I don't think that it's fair to penalize them right now. But ultimately, it's a recommendation from AAC to the board, and they will make the final decision. They may decide to turn the
Yes.
clock back to 2015. Okay, that's,
Okay.
Sauteing vegetables, and I just want to throw some shrimp in
Great.
that.
I captured all
Butter, if
those
you want that.
comments in so it can get massaged out.
Okay.
Now
So,
we're Anu, anyone else before we go to article?
I think it was
yes,
Phil.
we have several
Oh,
people.
Phil.
So,
Yep, Phil.
Dr. Posner, and then Thomas, and then Vanessa.
Oh, okay. We still got three people.
All right,
Okay.
I think after Vanessa, maybe we can go on to the next section.
All right.
Go ahead, Phil.
Dr. Posner, if you would unmute yourself.
And Kelly, thank you for your questions and clarifications. That helps.
And I made notes
Thank you for
of it,
going
Kelly,
back
too.
to question four. Kelly, thank you for asking all of my questions. I would like to point out a couple of things about question four, because as you know, we have had visitors
from the public complaining about the reset of people every time there is a new bylaw. And I think it needs to be very clear when that is. Let me speak for the emeritus members, of which I am one of two. And the term limits for emeritus and the time limit for sitting where their time limits begins is a moot point. I will point out the only other emeritus member has been Carolyn Bellamy, who served magnificently and has passed away. Therefore, Carolyn will not be emeritus any longer. I will speak for myself and guarantee you that within the next 12 years, I will be gone to a higher calling and will not be emeritus anymore. Therefore, those term limits are ridiculous and don't need to be there for emeritus people. To remind Tino that the subcommittee memberships, the subcommittees are committees of the whole. So there are no memberships. The entire AAC is welcome to attend and required to attend at least one a month under the current bylaws. What you want to do with the new bylaws, that's up to you, but you can do that. As far as the role of the leadership of the subcommittees, they are one-year appointments by the chair of the AAC. And every year, the chair of the AAC for that year reappoints or appoints new people. So that has been something that, again, doesn't have a need for term limits. The other thing that the committee has always done, the members of the committee and the members of the subcommittee serve because of geographic areas, which jurisdiction they're in, skills and disabilities, so that if someone were to have a term limit from a specific jurisdiction and there was no one else available from that jurisdiction, you might ask them to continue on until a replacement could be found. If someone has a particular disability, such as vision, hearing, cognitive, mobility, and there is no one else available, one might be asked to stay on as an intense search is being made to find someone with that disability, replace that community. And it will point out, and Patrick can point out also, in the past, we have had times when we have not had any hearing disability people on. There's never been a shortage of mobility. There's never been a shortage of vision. There has been shortage for cognition and for hearing, and certainly for hearing plus vision. So again, I would request that formally or informally, you state if a particular geographic or disability representative is needed, and the only person that meets that is term limiting out, they'd be requested to stay on until the replacement comes in. So anyway, that's just a suggestion to meet what's going on. I would also point out that all the RAC meetings are online and available to everybody on the committee. Their minutes are online and available to anybody on the committee. And considering how tough it is to get things done within the time limits of our committee, I think it's up to the members of the committee to find out on their own what's going on at the RAC. Because we barely have time to get reports from bus rail and from Metro Access and still cover everything that's in the agenda during our 2 hour minutes. And so I don't think we need to have the chair, who is a representative to the RAC, come and make those available to the committee. That's a task that the committee members can do on their own. But that's it. I don't need to go any longer. You guys are doing a great job, and good luck.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Posner. Thomas, you're up next. Unmute yourself, please.
Yes, this is Thomas. My thing is two questions, basically. The first question is, do we have a deadline on when everything got to be finalized on when the bylaws had to be put out there for this year? And also, what Tino brought up about if people don't participate in, like, I think it was 2 months or what have you, they automatically off. My thing is, while you're dealing with a lot of people with disabilities and what have you, it's, for those that want to give you the name of somebody that you can contact, if you can't get a hold of them, you know, to let you know whether or not the person just wasn't attending because they didn't want to, or they wasn't attending because of a health issue. So, but still, you still have to find somebody to replace them in the time until they're able to come back. Because, like, when you're dealing with a lot of health issues, 2 months could easily go by that you wasn't able to participate at all. But that don't mean you want to be kicked off the committee. So is there going to be any thing set up for people that have a reasonable excuse? That's all.
Thomas, I can take that. Yeah, in the past, we've always had that reasonable. We understand people with disabilities, health issues, and that sort of thing. So if it's a reasonable excuse, reasonable absence, yeah, we work with that.
And Thomas, I think your question will be answered when I review Article 3 membership. It was to the current language in here. It does provide those allowances. And once I get through that section, and then y'all can comment back to me with suggestions.
And who else is next? Anu?
Okay, next would be Vanessa. And just a reminder that we are taking only AAC members' comments at this point. Any members of the public will have an opportunity to give their comments during the public comment section. After Vanessa, it will be Debbie Fisher and then Steve Caffin, then Ms. Rush, Tawan Farmer, and Sandy Newsel. So Vanessa. Okay.
And that should be everybody, I think. Okay.
Okay. Hello, this is Vanessa. I'm an African-American middle-aged woman with curls, and I have on today a black lace t-shirt. So I wanted to also comment on what Chino said regarding attendance. So now that we're on Zoom, that's kind of a different animal before. And I also wanted to see whether or not we're going to be going back in physically, because then my next concern would be, does that AAC member have to attend at least two of those meetings? Or three of those meetings, and like Mr. I don't know who established this, Mr. Blake or what, we were given a courtesy trip, Metro Access trip. So I wanted to know if that needed to be added.
Right now, though, I don't think there is any attempt for us moving back into an in-person meeting.
Okay.
And the attendance piece will be discussed in the next section. So we're not going to go through that again. I mean, we'll have that in the next section. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Sure. And then I wanted to see if something should be added on the number of people that is represented. Because Mr. Phil mentioned it about the certain types of individuals. But should it be stated? I know it's announced on the website how many members from each region should be on the AAC, but should should that be mentioned in the bylaws?
So in the bylaws, Vanessa, it already mentioned when I went through the last section that there are 18 members in total, six from each of the three jurisdictions, and then the two that are appointed by the AFA.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So should we state whether or not, well, I guess if there's vacancy or is we can't get people in those positions, then you just can't get them in those positions. But should there, you know, in order for it to run properly, I don't know how you would word that, that there needs to be at least a minimum to be mm-hmm. In that particular region.
Well, we can't mandate that. So that's why I made the plea for recruiting purposes. I'd like to see us get at least 10 people attending and people on the bench. So we won't run into that problem. Okay. And then also, Thomas, you had talked about the drop dead date. That's going to be at the end of the meeting, June 3rd. So we have to move through this as quickly as we can.
Okay, thank you.
That was it for me. Thank you.
Thank you, Vanessa. Yeah.
Okay, next would be Debbie Fisher, and then Steve Kaffin and Ms. Rush.
Yeah, get my shot.
Thank you. I'll try to make this quick. The first thing I wanted to recommend is that you, in the opening paragraph about membership, you define each of those member status, because you talk about emeritus, you talk about different category or titles, but there's no definition of what that means and why there would even be a distinction. And so I think it, for the purposes of bylaws, if you're going to reference a type of member, you want to clarify what that member is or how that position, if it's not through this regular process, how that comes to be. So particularly emeritus, you reference it later. So that would be the first. The second thing is to Kelly's point, it may be helpful. I've done this with other groups. It may be helpful to actually write out the actual tenure for each current member to be sure that it truly is staggered, because you don't want to have too large a number that comes off all at once. If too many of our current members were present in 2015, you really do want to have it staggered. So I would suggest that that be actually written out, or at least looked at, to ensure that you could get approximately 25% rotating off at the end of the term limit. And then the last thing that I wanted to suggest is there are a lot of things that come up that you don't want to enshrine, particularly in the bylaws, but for which it would be helpful to have some process in place. And those might be it might be helpful to have either a policy and procedure or operational manual to go along. So, for example, how do we establish a pipeline of new members? Where do we get them from? It might be helpful to put that in place, to the extent that each of us may represent a cohort of people, either from a jurisdiction or a type of disability. Should we be expected to identify people? Do we want to invite people to attend meetings on a regular basis? Do we want to invite people to join the subcommittees? Just a suggestion that some of these things that are more operational might be useful to be put there. Those don't then require a vote for approval, but they do provide process.
All right, good.
So
Thank
thank
you.
you so much. I did put notes to define each member class, so that gets done because that is important. You want to define what's AFA, what's emeritus, what's subcommittee chair. So I did put those notes in as a reminder to get that put in.
Thank you.
Who's next, Anu?
Okay, so next would be Steve Kaffin, and then Ms. Rush, and then Tuan Farmer.
Was Sandy in there
Okay.
somewhere?
I'm sorry.
Yes, actually, after Debbie, that was Steve, and then Ms. Rush, then
Mr. Farmer
Tuan
and then
Farmer, and then
Sandy.
Sandy.
Gotcha. And
Sandy's after
then
Tuan.
we'll move to the next section. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. And I'll be laser. I agree with Doris, who raised the point of a break of 1 year. After the 12 years, we should build in a break, some kind of break, before reappointment. I think otherwise it's just too easy if we don't have that to just continue indefinitely. I think it's healthy to have that break. I also think it's healthy to have that break before an emeritus position is appointed too. That gives everybody the perspective of time, and I think that's important. I agree with Doris, and I also think the emeritus situation should be the same. We might also, Paul, want to include something like the emeritus, comma, which should be rare. What I don't think we want is kind of a almost like a you fall off the AAC and you fall into emeritus. I think the emeritus individuals to date have been of very high quality that we definitely wanted to continue on AAAC. But if we just put that in there, it's not an automatic, well, you're off the AAC, now you're considered for emeritus. So that's just a suggestion. The excused absences, I agree with as far as the calculation. Is there another aspect where the person, where the let's say a person is appointed, and I don't know, he's just he or she is just not performing, or a conf or in a or is just not working well. Even though that per person's attendance may be fine, I don't know how to handle that, but I think isn't that a clarification of some kind, Paul, to continue membership, or do we go for the
I
4 years?
know there's a code of conduct to address that as one side thing. And I know there's some references in the bylaws about that, or there was stuff that we worked on this summer that we did insert some specific language about being appropriate. I do know that was a part added in into appropriate sections, and we haven't gotten to that yet. So hopefully when we get to that, that should answer some of your questions.
Okay, great. And one quickie, do we have any clarification on what constitutes an individual to be considered for emeritus?
That is what we are working on right now because I made notes about that for emeritus, and some of the other classes, as Sandy, no, it was someone else was
Kelly.
alluding to actually define in each section.
All right. Thanks, Paul.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Okay, Ms. Rush, you're up next, followed by Tuan Farmer and then Sandy Newsom.
Okay, this is Ms. Rush. My comment is if we start stuff over at 2024, we're going and extending it and going in a circle. People have been on for a long time, and that includes myself. It should start at 2015 so that the
For
clock can, yeah, for all of it.
no, no, for most of us
I
though, Denise, for most of us, it is
uh-huh.
at 2050. But all we're
Okay,
talking about
right,
are the
okay.
AFA members that we had not defined before.
Okay, well, many of us have been on for years, and they want new ideas, new people, and they have in their minds that, you know, these people have been on forever and nobody else can get on. But it should start with most of us at 2015. And some of the things that have happened are historical. And people who are older that have been on the committee, not older, but have been on the committee for a long time, remember when these things happened and why they happened and how they happened. And we have to have that. No, I don't know if that is should be included as an emeritus person. I mean, Doris can remember stuff from way back. And she was on the committee before I even applied for the committee. And we need somebody to fill in those holes so that people understand what happened and how we got from point A to point B. But somewhere I remember where we upped the amount of minutes from 2 minutes to three. Now we're back at two. Does anybody remember when we said it's not fair to come all the way downtown for 2 minutes? And we moved it up to three. Does anyone remember that? Doris?
Yeah. Well, no, Doris, by the way, Doris was not on until July of 10. In fact, I was in the audience for a long time. But I'm not sure. I think that was an operational rule, which is why what my colleague from AFA is suggesting is not necessarily something for the bylaws. But what I will say is that that we need, you know, the staff needs to be keeping track of our terms. And I
okay.
should start with 12, and the people. The other provision that was in there is if you started a term, but your term was not a full term, that the word was most bodies used the term four-year consecutive terms, full terms. They used the word full terms so that if you were only on half of that, that you would still be able to have the other three, you know, three
right.
full terms.
You were completing
and
somebody else's
term. I think that's
term.
An appointment
right.
Provision, but I do think that we should start back with when we were chartered, and we were chartered starting in July of 10, which was FY11, and coming forward in 15, it was a revision, but not a rechartering.
Actually, it was. Wait a minute, hang on now.
And,
in 2015, yeah. Doris, there was a revision because we were reporting to the board of directors. We didn't
right,
report
right.
to the board
exactly.
of directors,
and they
so
didn't
that
recharter us. That's what I'm trying to say. We were chartered for the first time as the AAC in July of 10, the start of FY11. Before that, it was the E&D committee, and the E&D committee only reported to the general manager, and that's why I think it's the notable start point.
Okay, let's go to Twan Farmer.
And then the reset time, it could be 1 year. It could be, you know, you could say, well, half of a term, 2 years. I'm not, and actually Doris is coming. If we started at FY11, you know, July of 10, then Doris, I believe, has come to the end of her term. anyhow. So,
Doris,
but again, yeah.
Doris, we need to move on. Denise.
Yeah, I'm just giving examples.
Right, I understand. No, I get it. Denise, I think we've got a lot of your questions at least noted down, maybe not all the answers.
Okay, Chair Sheehan, next would be Tawan Farmer
okay.
and Sandy Muzo.
Great.
Thank you. Anu, Pat, you all can hear me, right?
Right.
Yes. Yep.
Great.
Hear you.
Great. I know that term limits has been a heavy topic, and so I'm not going to go too heavy to beat a dead horse on that. Because I know that it affects some people more than others, depending on when we decide to do a reset. And I'll admit, I'm not the biggest fan of resets because it gets very complicated. My personal opinion, for the record, is a concern over the, and I call it concept of term limits. To me, when I hear term limits, it means you do a particular amount of time that you serve in a particular role. You do not cycle out and then come back. To come back means that, hey, do we really have, for me, do we really have a term limit? It just means we've, you know, taken a little break so that I can come back again and again and again and again and again. I just don't feel like that's beneficial to the overall growth of the organization in that capacity. And I have no recommendations other than that would be that we had a solid, if you do 12 in 3 4-year consecutive terms, that's perfectly fine by the order of the board. But beyond that, I just feel like there's less opportunity for the membership to grow. And that's all I really wanted to say.
Right. Thank you, Tuan.
Thank you, Tuan.
Thank you, Pat.
Good. Sandy, I think you are the last speaker here.
Chair Sheehan, we have Philippa afterwards. So.
Oh, I'm sorry, Philippa. Yes, Philippa, I'm sorry. And then Sandy, go ahead.
Sandy, if you would unmute yourself.
Oh, I thought you wanted Philippa to go first. Okay, I just want to agree with Phil Posner that the membership, there's three kinds of members. There's members, there's AFA members, and there's emeritus members. And all of the, you know, vice chair and chair, those are elected positions, and that belongs under Article 5, I believe, officers. And actually, like Tawan Farmer's point, that after 12 years, your historical knowledge could be of benefit and you could be an emeritus person, but, you know, taking a year off and cycling back on, I don't know. That may not be the most useful thing. So thanks, Tawan, for, you know, voicing that. Okay, that's it for me.
Very good. Philippa?
Hi. Good evening, everyone. I'm sorry. I kept putting my hand up, and then they would say no more people. So I would take my hand down, and then more people would come. So I put my hand up again. That's why I'm bringing up the rear. But I was just going to say, don't be so anxious to ditch people that you lose your institutional memory. I think that point's been brought up. And also,
are we doing also, something June 18th to 20th? This
Hello.
Go ahead, Philippa.
Okay. Any rate, and I was also going to say, and please try to ensure that when you replace people, or as people are replaced, that the same or the disabilities are represented, because, you know, it's going to be very different what a person with low vision observes versus a person who's blind versus mobility impaired, or et cetera. So I would just say that as you do the jurisdiction thing, please try to ensure that the various categories of disability are, you know, included. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you.
I will say, Philippa, with that, I'm sure staff with recruitment and help of AAC members, We, you know, based on the pool that we're giving of people who put in applications, we, you know, we staff, ADAP staff tries very hard to, you know, extend, you know, advertise with disability organizations to get people, but it comes down to what pool we have and what's offered there. Sometimes we have what you say for the balance, but sometimes it's what we have when that that whenever that date closes for recruitment that we have to work with. Does that make sense?
Well, I guess as long as you have you know, wide range of disabilities, you know, represented.
We're hoping for everyone to participate in that recruitment, which will be coming up shortly. Paul, I think we can jump to the next section.
All right, and this will probably be the last section because we have to have public comment period. So I'm going down to Article 4, Termination of Membership. So I'm going to read through this one, and then I'll take comments for suggestions. A member's appointment to the AAC may be terminated upon affirmative vote of the majority of the WMATA Board of Directors, including at least one affirmative vote by a board member representing the same signatory jurisdiction as the member being terminated. A member's appointment to the AAC may be terminated upon an affirmative determination that a member, one, has attended no regular AAC and subcommittee meetings for 3 consecutive months, or has missed 2/3 of regular meetings within a 6-month period. If a member has attended no main committee meeting for 3 consecutive months, or has missed 2/3 of regularly scheduled subcommittee meetings within a 6-month period, their membership will be placed under review. Additionally, AAC members must stay for at least 2/3 of the meeting to be counted as having attended the required AAC or subcommittee meeting. 2, at the time of appointment, materially misrepresented use of rail, bus, or paratransit systems, or affiliation with a community organization upon which his or her appointment was based. The omission of information substantially relevant to the basis for the appointment shall be considered to be a material representation, thereby subjecting the AAC member to removal as provided in this article. Number 3, engaged in a consistent pattern of disruptive behavior in AAC or other WMATA-related meetings, which includes the use of slurs, derogatory comments, or any other conduct, whether physical, verbal, or written in new language, in blue, we want to add including email, directed at another person, including new language in blue, including AAC members and WMATA staff, or based, based upon another person's race, color, origin, sex, religion, sexual orientation, disability, or age. Number 4, refuses to execute or adhere to the AAC standards of conduct policy and any subsequent revision. B, the AAC may recommend that the Board of Directors terminate an AAC member's term for the reasons listed above, following a vote by the AAC at a regular meeting with 2/3 of the members present and voting, and which constitutes a majority of all members holding appointments to the AAC. B, before a vote to recommend termination of an AAC member to the board of the the AAC chair or vice chair shall notify the AAC member in writing of the basis for the termination recommendations and provide the member an opportunity to offer mitigating factors for consideration by a quorum of the AAC. The member in question will have the option to resign in lieu of recommendation for removal. D, following the vote, as described in Section B, the chair of the AAC will notify the subject member and the WMATA Board of Directors of the recommendation to terminate his or her membership. The Board of Directors may then take action to terminate this membership and may then appoint a new member to serve the unexpired term of the terminated member. All right, I will take comments and questions on this one.
Okay, Paul, we have three people with their hands up. Doris Ray, four now. Tina Calabia, Denise Russ, and Sandy Nuzzo. And again, during the discussion of the bylaws, we are taking comments only from the AAC members. Members of the public will have an opportunity to make their comments during the public comment section. So Doris, when you start speaking, I will start the timer. Doris, please unmute yourself. Okay, Paul, we can go to Tina and come back to Doris. Okay, Doris, go ahead.
I knew I was muted and I didn't know it.
Okay, no problem, go ahead.
Okay, so start me now. I would like to propose, even as a motion, that we delete this language from the bylaws and replace it with general language that says, basically, that the AAC may remove a member or may recommend to the WMATA board removal of a member, that the proceeding will take place in an executive session of the AAC, because I think this is more appropriate than doing it in a public, and it's what most appointed bodies do at local and regional advisory boards, and that we fill it in. This is one of the things that I think Debbie was talking about that is, I think, procedural. And there are examples that we can follow. And then, so that's basically what I'm suggesting here, and would hope that you would agree with that. And then just going back to the previous section, I hope that we will discuss a proportional representation, at least for Virginia jurisdictions, because if not Maryland, because of the very nature of, as a Fairfax County resident, I see there should be more representatives than for jurisdictions that have lesser populations. Thank you.
So, Doris, I'm making a note here because this probably relates to C before vote to recommend termination, that there is a suggestion of holding this meeting in executive session.
Paul, let me know. Go on to
our next speaker. I'm just typing a note here.
Right.
Language, suggest new language, suggest. A statement that the meeting
and all the rest section, would go into an addendum.
And section C should be held in executive session and of the AAC session meeting. And not publicly. All right, I got that note down because I think that's one of the most essential things. That
right.
You suggested, and I'll put that in blue.
Can we go to Tino next?
I'm at Doris was ahead of me because it almost seemed people thought we don't have hearing representatives, non-hearing representatives. for as long as I've known her, Doris has been with us, and she's even used equipment furnished by the staff to use earphones. So we've been well represented by a non-hearing member of the community. The other thing I'd mention is this going back and forth to the, or going even twice or more to the WMATA board. I think that's excessive. They are so inundated with a variety of matters already. Maybe they should handle one report of a termination that we're recommending. But if there's more than that, it's too much to ask of the board to keep dealing back and forth with questions of terminations of AAC members. Thank you.
Thank you, Tina. Who's next?
Next would be Ms. Rush and then Sandy Newsell.
Okay, this is Ms. Rush. The wording about attending a meeting, if the meeting starts at 4 o'clock, what is 2/3 of the meeting? Because we spend the committee spends too much time with the person who comes in at 4:30 asking the same questions that we've already answered at 4:15. And we can't keep doing that. We've got to either send that person to listen to it later on and just say, we have already address that question and we need to move forward. That's why we're behind in everything, because we have too many people who are not on the time that we need to start. And they're asking the same questions that we've already answered, and Mr. Blake answers them or someone answers them, and over, and we have to be specific in the bylaws that the meetings start at such a time, and nobody's perfect and on time all the time, but we spend too many times repeating, answering questions that we've already addressed. So I think that should be in the bylaws somewhere. That's just a suggestion, but we can't continue. We have too many things to cover.
So what you're suggesting, Ms. Rush, is an alternative that the person must attend the entire full length of the meeting to be counted.
Well, I think that might come under code of conduct or membership responsibilities, timeliness.
Okay.
And Denise, I think that this also has been put in because technically, if you come in and who does the roll call, you say yes, and then you leave for the next hour and 45 minutes, you're still coming.
Right.
Right. That's just,
yeah.
I mean, I never thought.
And all these meetings are recorded. So from Zoom, you can, from here, you can exactly see
when
you came in.
Yeah. Okay.
Good. But I think timeliness, I think full participation, including timeliness of meetings, is a good thing to put in that roles and responsibilities. We can add that, Paul.
Right.
Okay, next would be Sandy Newsell.
So under roles and responsibilities of members, I'm hard pressed to find where it says you're expected to attend every AAC meeting, the monthly meetings, but I don't see any verbiage about subcommittee meetings. And I think something should be said more specifically in the bylaws somewhere.
I remember in the bylaws, Sandy, is you are to attend two meetings a month required. One must be the AAC and then another meeting of your choice.
Where? I couldn't find it today. I read the whole thing.
Paul, do you have that?
He's looking. He's scrolling.
Okay, I didn't know.
She gave me a, no, she gave me a good question.
I'm just helping Pat out because he can't see you scrolling through all the
Yeah, no, thank you, Sandy. No, I think I remember reading that too, Sandy, somewhere, but I feel like me, I couldn't.
Well, okay. Then just make a note that needs to be in there.
I recall that we had it at some point, but it might have been taken out in 15 or something. But I still think this is a procedural thing that could be referred to in an attachment and not in the body.
Okay.
Necessarily, you know, that some a sentence, something like any proceedings regarding dismissing members would have to follow such and such procedures, which are an attachment, and then that also, if it's an attachment, I believe, would allow it to be changed from time to time as circumstances evolve.
This is Philippa. I believe it was actually in the application when you applied to be on the committee. At least I remember hearing that from the moment I applied.
I do too, but But should it be in the bylaws?
Last bylaws, that was my impression.
Yeah, so Paul, why don't we'll take a note.
I guess Doris, I need to we put will a look note in at here.
You know, putting up perhaps another document in there. But Paul, I think you're right. I think we're finished with this section for today. We've gotten a lot of good feedback. I appreciate it. These were two tough sections to get through, so I appreciate everyone's input.
So I'm going to put a comment in here. Under after AAC meetings under one, just a side note of we need to
and we'll jump to public comment then next.
Philippa has her hand up, so we will
okay, we'll go with Philippa and then comments. We will go to public comment.
Yes. Oh no, I'm sorry, I need to lower my hand. I was going to make the statement already made.
Oh, okay,
thank you, Philippa.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Anu.
Sure. So I can stop sharing my screen right now because this is it for this section because this is where we ended, right?
Right. This yes. will end tonight. Great. Thanks, Paul.
Okay. So Chair Sheehan, this is Anu. It is 7:12. And if you have no other business to conduct, we can go straight to public comment session.
Let's go to public comment. That's great. Thank you.
Wonderful. So we have three members of the public with their hands up, and we can take your comments in the order we received. We noticed your hands up. When you start speaking, your two minutes will begin. And Mr. Ansel Torres, followed by Janice Samuel, followed by Kevin Andrews. So Mr. Torres, when you start speaking, your 2 minutes will begin.
Thank you. Well, it's been long in coming. I remember seeing Mr. Sheehan promising the board that this was going to be done since last October. And where are we in now? April? April 1st. I think it's a fool's joke is what this is. I don't understand how someone who has served for as long as the chair has can sit on a committee chairing rules that he breaks and has broken for years. I don't understand this rule that you're looking to introduce about off-ramp and on-ramp and all this. Basically, what you're doing here is you're making committee members for life, is what this is, which is exactly what I thought was the whole idea in the first place. You have made a mockery of the process. Ms. Rush and I haven't agreed on much of late, but this is one area where I can certainly get behind her on. It is very sad that the committee has descended into this, or maybe it was always this. It's now becoming more apparent. I believe that we in the disabled community have been shafted and sold down the river, and Metro Access is being abused, and they are sitting by and doing nothing about it. or nothing effective about it. I don't hear any rules here being done to look after the interests of the riders. It's all about the committee. We're not even included in the process for the rulemaking. There should be a component of this that is opened up to the public so they can...
2 minutes are up, Mr. Torres.
Yeah, well, just about everybody who spoke beyond the 2 minutes that they were required. So how come it's only Ansel Torres being imposed on? And this 3 minutes thing, disabled people are given extra time in all kinds of arenas because of their disability. Yet we have a disabled organization, disabled committee that is limiting speech. So is that what the committee is about? Giving themselves Hessinger Awards, stroking themselves, oh, such a great job you're doing, here's a Hessinger Award, but you're not looking after the interests of the disabled community. Shame on all of you. Thank you.
Okay, next would be Janice Samuels. Janice, when you start speaking, your 2 minutes will begin.
Thank you, Anu. I'd like to recommend that the board consider in the bylaws when an individual is appointed to complete another person's term who's either been removed or who has resigned, to address whether or not they can, in addition to the completion of that term, complete another 3-4 year terms. So that could extend their time on the board beyond 12 years. That needs to be addressed in the bylaws.
Very good. That was a point that was brought up earlier, and that's a very good point.
Oh, my apologies. I missed it.
No. That's a good point. You made a good point.
Okay. Thank you, Janice. Next would be Kevin Andrews. When you start speaking, your 2 minutes will begin.
Hi, can you all hear me?
Yes.
Hi. Kevin Andrews here. I'm a blind Metro Access rider. I had an incident the other day where I could not exit the station at Gallery Place Chinatown 9th and G Streets exit using my Metro Access card. With these new fare gates, I tried about 4 different gates there. I attempted to contact a station manager. There was no manager present. So somebody had to basically, out of the kindness of their heart, let me out. This is not only a safety issue or security issue, but an accessibility issue also. I've also written to management about this problem because this was extremely distressing and triggering. I have suggested a few different things that I will raise here. So enhanced accessibility features, so you actually know what's happening with the gates, not just ding dong, bing or whatever, because that doesn't tell anyone anything unless you can see it. Comprehensive staffing protocols. So somebody, because this was a huge point of failure, if somebody was actually at the booth, I could have received assistance even after pressing the button. We got no response. So somebody there to actually help if there is problems. Regular maintenance checks, so a rigorous maintenance schedule to kind of check these on a regular basis, make sure that everyone's cards, even Metro Access cards, are working. I should note that it worked before and after, a couple hours later, so some sort of weird glitch. And regular mandatory disability training for all staff, how to assist people with differing and diverse access needs. not used to talking with a clock. So thank you.
Mr. Andrews, I know you said that you have reported this to management. Did you report it through customer service as well?
I did not. Okay. I sent emails to leadership because I want this addressed. Like, I was trapped in. So.
I understand. We apologize for your experience. Would you be able to send me a private message with your ID number?
Who's speaking again? Sorry, I'm not here all the time.
Apologize. This is Anu. And if you're able to send me a private chat message through this meeting, and if you can provide us with your phone number or email so that we can contact you to follow up.
Will do. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you. Marcy, go ahead.
I have a suggestion with the time limit. 2 minutes or 3 minutes, like for me with speech problem, may not get my health thought, of course, is to anybody that has a speech disability or some kind of disability that makes them talk slower, that they get a little more time, but not for everyone. That's the end of my speech.
Okay. Thank you, Marcy.
Thank you, Marcy. I know. I think that's something that we can discuss.
Yes.
I think that, Marcy, that's a very good point. So. Very good. Paul, how far is that all above the hands? I knew I wanted to ask Paul a question. How far are we along in the document?
Yes, that was the end of our members of the public, okay, and any AAC members.
Right.
So,
Paul, how far are we along
question, we just completed with comments the Article 4 termination of membership, mm-hmm, and we still got, it looks like, 8 more pages to go with this, 7 to 8 more pages left of stuff we have to get through.
Okay.
Out of an 18-page document.
We've got quite a bit of work to do, and we probably have one meeting. So we're going to have to make our points concise. So I will say that I think these two sections were going to be more chatty, let's say, problematic. So appreciate all the discussion. I know. Well, I think we've done quite a bit of work tonight. I would accept a motion to adjourn. Did you want to make your closing statement, Anu?
Yes, I will. And I just want to remind members of the public that if you like to make comments, provide us with your feedback, you can do so via email, and send your emails at metroaacchair@wmata.com. And that is metroaacchair@wmata.com. Or call and leave a message at 202-962-1100. That concludes my announcement for public comments. Thank you, Jim.
And Pat, can I make the announcement about the Metro Access Subcommittee meeting that we will have as usual on the third Monday of the month? Given the fact we still need to work through this, we will be working on some of the bylaws during that meeting because we have not heard a decision yet about what is WMATA going to do for the next fiscal year in terms of Metro Access service fares or anything, since the board is not meeting until the end of April, when the big news will come out and that will dominate most of May and June. I did want to take some of the meeting time to try to get some more of the bylaws worked up.
Okay. I think that's a good idea, Paul. So we will do that. So whoever, as we say, the subcommittees are a committee of the whole. So everyone is welcome, and we'll just move on as we can. I think May will be full of budget considerations and questions and concerns. So we will have, thank you, Paul, for letting us use your meeting. And we will do that and be busy in May and end up with this discussion in June.
Chair Sheehan, this is Anu. Sandy Musil and Doris Ray raised their hands.
Okay. So I was Sandy, just going to ask for a motion to adjourn. Is that what you wanted, Sandy?
Actually, I wanted to ask, is it appropriate for Paul to send revisions and then the updated version before the Metro Access meeting, or should we just carry on at Article 5 and not worry about it? the revisions that were sort of kind of put in tonight.
Oh, what do you think? Is it doable?
Oh, it's doable because we want to move this along and get this done, all of us.
Thank you, Paul. I guess the answer is yes, Sandy.
Thank you.
And Doris, go ahead.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I do want to express the concern that if we take the bylaws up again at the Metro Access Committee, rather than, for example, Tino will excuse me, at the Bus and Rail Committee, the problem is it's going to be the 15th of April. It's going to be tax day, and I would beg you not to do it that day.
We don't have any time, Doris.
Or have some kind of special meeting.
We don't have any time. Doris, this is why I'm saying, as committee members,
suggesting do it at Bus Rail, but not on.
No,
tax
Bus
day.
Rail has. We've already got two high level speakers coming in at Bus Rail, and those speakers on the 8K series. So really, what I would suggest is people need to read and come with their focused. Send us your focused questions and concerns before the meeting. And if we've got time in May, we'll use it. I don't know that we will, because I think the budget will be out and there'll be a big discussion on that. So the only other meetings we have is June. And whatever we don't finish is going to be sent up as is. And they will work on it because, you know, we've got, our leadership
responsibilities here. Mm-hmm. So anyway,
I understand, but this is then we take the time in the next couple of weeks as committee members and write up our thoughts and impressions and submit them. I mean, that's the only other way I can see to move it along.
Farmer.
Well, for the public too.
Okay.
All right. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
All right. Second. Very good. Thank you. Thank you, committee. An excellent meeting. I know we're stressing everybody, but I think we'll give them a good product.
Great.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you, Paul.
Okay. Thank you, everyone. Have a good week, and we will see you next week at the Bus and Rail Subcommittee meeting at 4 p.m. Marcy, are you trying to say something?
No.
Okay. Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you, everyone. Have a good night.